We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
The video that you just saw was made by a London film company that captured actual events that took place on Christmas Eve in 1914. We actually have some of those photos that were actually taken during that time of these brave soldiers who went out into the middle of no man's land, defying orders across the frozen tundra, and made peace for just a few brief moments on Christmas Day. That moment has been described as a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, a day unlike any other, and the whole scene unfolded and was sparked because of the well-known and familiar Christmas carol, Silent Night. Somebody said that a Christmas carol has been described as a song of joy. Well, this song of joy, if you know anything about what we've been doing here in our church on Sundays, is we've been learning about songs of joy in the form of Christmas carols, was written in a little town there, in a church there that you see called Obendorf, Austria, in 1816 by a guy by the name of Joseph Franz Moore. Joseph's father had deserted the army and his family, leaving them struggling. And despite the hardship of growing up very poor without any guiding influence of a father, being raised in a single home with a single mom, Joseph grew and became a pastor. The original tune that we sing, Silent Night, was originally written, believe it or not, it was written for guitar, because in that little church in Obendorf, Austria, the organ was broke. And you can imagine what that must have caused in a church like that. But they took that tune and they sang it that day on guitar. And what's interesting, what you see now is a picture of the actual original song written, Silent Night, that was written and sung in German instead of Latin, because the pastor, Joseph, decided that it would be best if his congregation, who didn't know Latin, would sing it in German on Christmas Eve in 1818. The song Silent Night has been translated into 90 languages and is perhaps one of the most unmistakable sounding songs of Christmas. As with many of the carols that we have been looking at, the roots of the song are found firmly implanted in the scriptures, because you see, Silent Night, the whole song itself, rests on what we believers call the Christmas story. And if you have a Bible and you can see, or you can turn in your Bible, or some of you can turn it on, as long as you're not looking at Facebook or checking the email or playing Candy Crush, sir, turn it off, you know who you are. You see, long, church, long before the song Silent Night was written, God had already set into motion a sacred moment in time when he would send his son into the world. Luke chapter 2 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Friends, the world that Jesus came into that day was anything but peaceful. Times were turbulent and very troublesome, to say the least. The world was in darkness and in desperate need of the holy light of God's Son. And as we look at the story and as we look at the song, there is a distinct message coming from this well-known song. And as we think about the words and the impact of the message, I want to challenge every single person in here tonight to think about Christmas and to be challenged in three areas. The first one would be simply this: to receive the glory of Christmas. Receive the glory of Christmas. The song says, "Holy infant, so tender and mild." Now, I have been a pastor for 25 years, and I have to tell you, I have seen and held and kissed a lot of little babies, including my own. And no matter how precious and how wonderful you think your little baby or grandbaby is, I want you to know that there was only one who was born sinless and spotless and one who was born perfect, and that is Jesus, the Son of God. And as you look at the lyrics of the song, you continually see these words, holy and heavenly and glories. It was a sacred night, church. It was a holy night, a night set apart by God, a special sacred night. And on that night, more changed than any other night. And I want you to know there will never, ever be another night like that night. The glory of Christmas was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Glory, it is the evidence of God, the clear, unmistakable evidence of God's presence. You see, we know God is here because of our conscience. Every single person has been created in the image of God. My dear friend, I want you to know this Christmas, you are not a mistake. You are made with design by a holy creator who loves your soul eternally. And you have the image of God stamped in you. You are not worthless. You did not evolve from a blob. You were created perfectly and fearfully by a holy, loving God. And you have a conscience, and you feel it in your heart, and you know he's there. Not only this, but you know that you can see God in creation. Shortly into the new year, I'll be accompanying my oldest son to Colorado to go skiing. And every time I get up in the mountains, there's always a moment that overtakes me when I look at the glorious scenery and I think, thank you, God, for your creation. Not only in our conscience and not only in creation, but the Bible says this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We can see God in conscience and creation, and we certainly can see him in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God sent his Son to save us. And the thing is, as a pastor, so many people I talk to read the Bible, and they tend to look at the Bible and the good book, as many call it, and they look at God as some form of condemnation, and many think God is some cosmic judge waiting to pronounce eternal damnation and punishment. Friends, listen, I want you to know something this Christmas. The message of Christmas is not one of condemnation, but reconciliation. It is a message of celebration. Why? Because salvation has come. And that's the question for you tonight. Have you received the glory of Christmas? The song, I think, has a phrase in it that is perhaps my favorite when it says, with the dawn of redeeming grace, redeeming grace. I want to ask you all to do something this Christmas. How many of you still have a gift to buy? Would you put your hand up? There's four of you. Pray for these poor souls. You have time. This is why you came to the 3 o'clock. I not only want you to receive the glory of Christmas, but number two, I want you to give the grace of Christmas. The grace of Christmas. The greatest and most meaningful gift you can give this Christmas is grace. Grace, in essence, is giving something to someone that they do not deserve. You see, grace has been given to all of us by God, but the thing is, not everyone has personally experienced the life-changing grace of God. Titus says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many men, church? All men. All men. Can I just lovingly say it this way? Because I think most of us in here would probably find ourselves in the category of not only having receive the grace of God, but think of it this way. We who have been redeemed by the grace of God should reach out to grace with others. Reaching out to grace with others. You know, in the clip that we watched, did you catch how that one young English soldier, it took him going first, willing in the midst of conflict and battle, somebody had to go. Someone had to stand up. Someone had to put themselves in harm's way and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want there to be grace. Friends, you know we live in a world of conflict and trouble and hurt and pain. And if there was ever a time of year when you should give grace, It's Christmas time. I love what Dr. Paul Tripp says. He says, "We are never persuasive when we are abrasive, and we never get our point across when we are cross." You see, the reason so many people are still in darkness and have not received the redeeming grace, and they are still in this darkness, is they have no peace. The light of the glorious gospel has not come into their life and transformed them. There is no light in their soul. Peace is what so many people want today. Peace does not mean an absence of conflict. It means calm in the midst of a crisis. It means assurance in the midst of chaos. It means comfort in the middle of your pain. And it means certainty, even when you feel confused. Christmas grace and Christmas peace is the reconciliation by God through Jesus Christ to man. It is the restoration of peace. You see, peace and light are the gifts God gives to those who come to him. And Christmas means that through the grace of God and the incarnation, peace with God is available. And here's the thing that I've discovered. Can I let you in on a little Christmas secret? If you're at peace with God, then you can go out and make peace with everybody else. But if you're not, if there's a war within you, if there's a conflict, if your soul is in the midst of a storm, you will never be able to make peace with anybody. Because you see, the problem are not the people around you, it's the war going on inside of you. And you need to make that right this Christmas. Let me ask you, have you received the glory of Christmas? Has the baby in the manger changed your life? See, the baby in the manger became the man on the cross who died and rose from the dead 3 days later. He offers grace. And for those of us who are here tonight who have received this grace, let me ask you, I'm going to ask this very pointed question. Who do you know right now needs a little grace from you? You say, well, now you're meddling. That's my job. That's what I do. Okay. Who needs some grace from you this Christmas? You say, I gave grace one time. I'm not doing it again. Man, am I glad God doesn't have that attitude toward us. Amen. How about you imitate Jesus, the guy you say you love so much, and give a little grace this Christmas? And then this. Share the good news of Christmas. Share the good news of Christmas. In the end, the song, Silent Night, it's really a lullaby about peace. For sure, it inspires pictures of baby Jesus sleeping soundly the evening that he was born. But if you listen as the song progresses along, it's increasingly about the peace that he brings, not the quiet that he might have enjoyed that night. You see, when our Savior came, he came and preached peace, it says in Ephesians 2:17, to you who were afar off and peace to those who were near. He brought a stillness to our relationship with God and with one another where there had only been conflict, hostility, and wrath. You see, friends, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, offers permanent and perfect peace to all who will come to him. All. You know, the same Jesus who presumably slept like a baby on that ordinary night when he became a man also preached rest to the weary and to the rebellious among us. He said these words in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find," say it with me, "rest for your souls." My yoke is what, church? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I think my second favorite line in the song, aside from redeeming grace, is when it says that Son of God loves pure light. I think Timothy Keller sums it up well when he says it this way. In short, Jesus is the divine light of the world because he brings a new life to replace our spiritual deadness, because he shows us the truth that heals our spiritual blindness, and because he is the beauty that breaks our addictions to money and sex and power, and he is the light for us when all other lights go out. The good news. Do you know the good news of Christmas? Let me put it to you this way. If you know the good news, let me illustrate it like this. If there was a sale at your favorite store, and they were literally, in your opinion, just giving the products away, let me ask you, might you be a little bit tempted to tell somebody that there's a good deal going on? Yes or no? All good Christian people should be nodding and saying yes right now. Why? Because something like that's too good to pass up. What if I told you everyone who attended tonight was getting a $100 bill? And all of God's people said, you should know it's not happening. But if it was, would you tell your friends and neighbors? Hey, you should come over to my church. I know our church is really, that's where it's at, right? Why? Well, we give away $100 bills. Well, you say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, don't you think Jesus is better than a sale and a $100 bill? Don't you think the good news is worth sharing? Can I ask you this question? Did you notice at the end of the song when it said, Christmas is for sharing? At the end of that clip, at the very end, when the two young soldiers had exchanged one a chocolate bar, one a cracker, they shared something. You see, Christmas is for sharing. We today are surrounded by people who are still living in darkness. People, friends, I want you to know, who have no peace and have no hope. Those of us who have had our souls illuminated by the light of Christ, those of us who say that our lives have so experienced the love of Christ, those of us who know the peace of God, do you know that we are called to share that light, to share the good news? Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.